Welcome to the Movie Bench Quarterbacking Podcast. This podcast features geeks brought together by fate to discuss movies and all things geek culture. Enjoy the show.
Yeah, so Kaleidoscope is a show on Netflix about a robbery, you know, a huge, huge heist. And it's about 9 episodes. And the key point to Kaleidoscope is you can watch the episodes in any order, except for white. The titles are listed by colors. And you can watch the episodes in any order, except for white. Watch white last. That is kind of like the season finale, series finale. So watch white last, but you can watch them in a multitude, an arrangement. I think they said you can get up to close to like 30,000 different ways to watch it without watching, if you include white in it. But there's a way you can watch it chronologically. There's a way you can watch it just, you know, in order of the story. There's a way you can reverse watch it, all that kind of stuff. But anyway, so it's set around a gentleman. He was a kind of like a jewel thief type of deal. He gets locked up for a while, and his partner kind of set him up and is living his best life while dude was in prison for all these years. And he wants to take his old partner down. It's a really, really good show. Like I said, you can watch it in any order. I mean, it's just, you know, it's a lot of dynamic to it because you have all these different characteristics of these different robbers and these different heists, and their, you know, whatever their kind of, you know, want is in this, and then what they bring to the table, their specific skill set and why they were brought into this heist in the first place. So it's a really good show. I don't want to give out the ending, but it's a really, really good show, really entertaining. I mean, I binged it in 2 days just because I was like, oh my goodness. And every episode like keeps you on edge. And there's a particular order I watched it in. I didn't watch it in a chronological order. I watched it in the order in which is best explaining the story. Some were out of place. And then I think the last 4 episodes I watched were just in the order that Netflix has them. But yeah, really good show. Really good heist show. I love it. It's kind of like one of those shows with save white for last. The white being the last. It's one of those shows where you can watch it. Everything happens. Some things that happen, they'll put you past the heist, and then you watch white last and you're like, oh my god, that's how that happened, or that's why that happened. And it's really exciting, so y'all go ahead and check that out. What did y'all think about it?
It was great. I had a good time. I'm on it, binging it too, and finishing it like in 2 days. But I'm glad when Wayne texts us the article with the order to watch it in, I stuck to that. Stuck to it. And it worked out perfectly. It was cool. It wasn't the same director for each episode, which was cool. It was great. Giancarlo Esposito did a great job. This is the first time I believe that he had the lead role in anything. I mean, or lead in the series. He's usually always a great supporting actor. He's a great actor anyway. He's usually playing the bad guy and does such a good job because he goes back to, you know, the whole Spike Lee, Do the Right Thing, mm-hmm. and School Days. That's where
Bugging
that's
Out
the camp he comes from. Yeah, Bugging Out. Yep. Yep. And Big Brother Almighty from School Days. So this was great. Great cast. It was a cool story. It was different. And Rufus Sewell, who played his nemesis, he's been around for years too. I'm glad he's still here. He looks the same for the most part.
He does.
It was cool. It was a different type of story, and I enjoyed it. I did.
Yeah.
It was cool and very creative with the, like Wayne said, with the different colors and how you can watch anything. Netflix gets props for that because I wasn't expecting any of that, and it truly was a kaleidoscope. But yeah, it's a good TV series. I guess it was just one season, unlimited, I guess. I'd love to see more. Yeah. Of that, but yeah, Giancarlo Esposito, it was great. It was good to finally see him shine as a leading man. He did a great job. Yeah. So yeah, I liked it.
Yeah, I loved it as well. Rufus Sewell, I liked him. I first seen him. I seen him some movies back in the day, but one of the first movies I seen him in and I loved him for was Dark City.
I knew you were gonna say that.
That's one of my favorite movies. Yep. This is before The Crow and all that kind of stuff, and it was the same director. But that's what I know him from. Giancarlo, brilliant, like you said. You know, all the stuff he's done. He's having a renaissance as well with all these different things, from video, being a lead in video games, to being in Star Wars, to being in Better Call Saul.
He's the voice of Lex Luthor too.
He might have voiced him in one of those animated movies.
Yeah, but, the voice of Lex Luthor, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. So he gets around, and then you have people like Jai Courtney that people see. So it's got some familiar faces and some faces you've seen around, but it's hard to find good shows, right? But then also I like concepts as well. And I love the concept of this, and Netflix always kind of come up with these, you know, little tricks and fun stuff, choose your own adventure kind of things, or something like this, like Kaleidoscope. And I didn't know nothing about it. I remember it popping up, but I didn't think nothing about it. It's like, I'll check it out because Giancarlo is in it. But when you hit me up and said something about it to check it out, it really put a fire under me. And when I realized what they were doing. And so even though I was giving the best way to watch it, I'm almost curious, is like, what would I have thought and what would I have figured out if I would have just watched it? Because each person pretty much is going to have a different order in which they see the show. Now, I think that they all start with, I think, white and all end with black, I think, or vice versa. But I think the ending in the front, the top one, is always going to be the same. And anything in between could switch up and stuff. But seeing it in an order that I think would probably made the most sense, it was good seeing it that way. But I'm curious to the folks who see it in the random order that they get it in.
Right.
And it's funny because I could tell the show is good because a scene that I saw, and something happened in the scene, and I thought that it was something else happening with it, and I thought it was a mistake, and I thought it was left in on accident, and they tried to fix it with editing. And to keep watching and further along in the episode, I found out that thing was playing into the story. That's how much detail it is. They make things that you would even think wouldn't even be a part of it, actually a part of the attention to details. I'll say something like, you know, because you said before about how it kind of switched in time and different things like that. They cared. The attention to detail was impeccable. And it's important in a show like this for the detail, but not only with the storytelling and things like that, because like Rian Johnson kind of had it where he set the bar so high with Glass Onion, things like that, you know, these movies with these details, and you got all these different characters and layers and stuff like that. For this to be like that, and then you have the added feature of these random orders, and you find out in different times and different places and how things are connected, is just a fun and refreshing way to experience the show. I've always been, when I was a kid, I used to love those books where you choose your own adventure. Do you go left? Do you go right? Do you go up and do you go down? Do you go that door or that door? And to have this, where two things I love, to have a choice and to have a great story, you know, that I could sit back and binge and watch, was just a nice experience. And I want to watch it again in a random order and see what happens. But like I said, what I might end up doing too, just having conversations with different folks who had different experiences with it and see what they thought and how, you know, how the TV show unfolded for them. Because I think that takes that whole thing to a different level. But I'm glad you brought it up. I'm glad that you, you know, gave me the order, because I would have went in cold. And that would have been fine too. But even with that, it was still intriguing. It was still like, what's happening? It didn't just give you everything. It still spoon fed you, even in quote unquote order. You still had to work. And I love how it unfolded. Some stuff I knew was going to happen, but even if that thing happened, there's another twist in there that I didn't know. And that's just great storytelling. Like you said, they had different directors, but you couldn't tell from the episodes. Now, one episode I could tell somebody did it differently because the tone was more funny, but it wasn't distracting. It still fit. And I look forward to maybe they'll do a different story with different characters and things like that. But like I said, the storytelling, the characters, the layering of the stories, people feel like they were connected. If people had an issue, you kind of knew why. And it was typical, but not. And that's hard to pull off. It was very comfortable, where you could sit in and feel like you're comfortable enough to be in the car with everybody and not too nervous, where you have to feel like, you know, I got to get out of here. It felt like you're going along for the ride and you just kind of sitting in the back seat, looking at everybody crazy, just trying to see what's going to happen next. And I loved the ride. I loved it.
Yeah, because you had mentioned, you know, I got the movies like The Glass Onion. The reason the movie made me think about the most, one of my favorite trilogies, the Ocean Trilogy. And of how, you know, this robbery thing or this heist will happen, and you like, it either foiled or it didn't. Right. And then they explain it like, oh, that's how that happened? Like, what? And so that's why I was so like like it's kind of like almost nostalgic to like watch it and then think like, wow, like see, this is why I like Oceans. And then I actually went and watched the Ocean trilogy after, just because you have to deal with all these people. And then, you know, everybody has like a role, but then who messes up? And, you know, not, you know, granted, this wasn't on the level of mess up like the Oceans was. I mean, I'm sorry. Oceans wasn't on the level of mess up like this was, but you know, it just it makes me think about those things, like the whodunit or the how did happen type of, you know, stories. And then it, you know, you get the blanks filled in and stuff like that. So Oceans, everybody watch those, because
right on.
And Death, yeah, Death on the Nile and all that stuff, and the Orient Express, all those. Oh, yeah, it's on those levels. Stuff.
Definitely. You were talking about Giancarlo and all the different things he had done, and I interrupted you. You were saying the different things that he has done.
Oh no, just like, you know, Better Call Saul and all that kind of stuff, and Far Cry. He's leading on video games, Star Wars. So just all the stuff he's been on, and I just love when somebody who earned their place and put in their hard work actually get to express that. You know, it's so many people that just lost artists that never get the chance. They have all this in them, you know, but to be able to shine and shine in so many things and so effortlessly, it just shows who they really are. And I'm just glad that people see him and to think of him and, you know, and to actually let him express those things. Cause somebody at that age and they're you know, a Black person, and they get a chance to breathe at this age in the way that they're doing it, that's beautiful. That's usually left for people like, you know, Sylvester Stallone or Clint Eastwood or Mel Gibson. You know what I mean? Like Liam Neeson, they don't come back for us, you know? No. And these are big things too. These are big things. These are big franchises. They like, though, you know, he's in the Boys. Like,
yeah, he's great in that. I forgot about that. He's in Once Upon a Time.
Yes,
playing the Mirror. He was the Mirror. Yes. But once again, he's going back to that same school of, you know, I mean, he's from that camp with Denzel, with Wesley, with Samuel L. Jackson. He's from that whole camp.
The camp of Spike Lee
was the one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. That's the Spike Lee camp. And, you know, and it's just great to see him. Oh, also, so with the directors, I believe Robert Townsend directed some of these episodes.
Yes, he did.
Of Kaleidoscope.
Yeah, I was glad to see his name.
I love Robert Townsend.
Yeah.
Yeah, we haven't seen him in a while. He, like, disappeared. So it's good to see him directing again. I'm used to seeing him always direct, like, comedies and stuff. But it was good to see him direct this, you know, episodes of this. So, because, you know, Hollywood Shuffle, Meteor Man, or, you know, of course, the Five Heartbeats. I mean, but yeah, so that was a nice, delightful surprise. It all coming full circle, seeing these people and the directors. But yeah, it's a great series. And you guys are right about that too. Like, you know, like the Ocean Trilogy and like Knives Out, it's, you know, you don't know what's going to happen next. I will say, when I was watching it, because like I said, no spoilers, but there were certain characters, the minute they popped up, I knew they were just going to be the trouble.
Right.
And maybe that was on purpose. The director wanted me to feel that way.
Yeah.
You know, it was homeboy from Suicide Squad, wasn't he?
Yeah, Jai Courtney. Yeah, Jai Courtney.
Jai Courtney, yeah.
Yeah, but you...
He did well in that.
But even the stuff you kind of figured out, you didn't know how deep in which way.
Yes.
Because there's a thing that you just think you kind of understand what was the problem, and you come to find out it wasn't that. Because sometimes, you know, when you got a situation with thieves and liars, everybody has the potential to be one, and sometimes it's not the obvious person.
Well, no, and you're right. And then I felt like, you know, there was definitely some moments that left me hanging that I'm still processing, like, why'd you leave me hanging with that? What happened at the end of that scene?
So real quick, we all really dug it, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I recommend Kaleidoscope. Watch it on Netflix.
Okay. So for sure. Okay. And so I wasn't going to do this for this part, but if you listen past this point, we're going to do a quick spoiler, because I see that Keith got something he want to say, and I kind of do too, and I'm sure Wayne does too. So real quick, we're going to go into a spoiler territory. So watch it first. After you watch it, come back and hear what we're going to say. But just little stuff, but go check it out and watch it the way you watch it. And you know, like I said, you will not be disappointed. It's gonna be a trip. It's gonna be a trip for sure. Keith, what were you talking around? I know you're gonna say something.
Oh, like when the the chemist lady, I forget her name, hooked back up with
his name is Stan. His name is Peter Mark. Okay, he reminded Kendall. Me of
Jack Wade. Thanks. I'm sorry.
He reminded me of a young Tim Robbins, but just younger. Okay. But his name was Stan.
She hooked back up with him, mm-hmm. and they're at the beach, and Jack Courtney's character is about to get killed.
Bob.
With his dumb ass.
Yeah.
And she gets the money, and she looks at the boyfriend eating the hot dog. And she's looking at the car and the money.
Yeah. And they never show what she did, right? They never show what she did.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And so
that left me hanging. And then even when, when Giancarlo's walking with his cane, with mm-hmm. this suitcase, completely exposed, and that dude's about to kill him, but we don't see it. I'm like, so was that a hit from the triplets?
No, that was, so what was his name in the movie? So his name was Roger. Roger Salas was his, his new name, Leo's partner, Rufus.
He put the hit out on him?
No, that was his son that did that. They had that cartoon like t-shirt. He was wearing that. So they showed him wearing that earlier on a different episode. Oh, he's wearing the same shirt.
The kid who was half Asian.
Yeah, his son. Yeah. His son
that
took
was his
out.
Son. Okay.
His son took him out because they showed him in a different.
And I didn't
first,
realize that.
I saw that t-shirt. And then so when he later on, a couple episodes later, he was talking to his dad. He had the same t-shirt on. I'm like, that's the dude that killed Leo earlier or allegedly killed Leo.
Okay,
we didn't see
gotcha.
It happen.
Even
we heard the gunshot.
I love this series.
Yeah, yeah.
But when a brother plans a heist, how come he can't get the money and still live?
I thought it was very interesting that
how come the black man gonna die again?
But the whole time they had you thinking that Bob stole the money because he was missing. And you find out that Bob, Jai Courtney's character, who you thought was gonna be the thief, he didn't even take the money. He was in the street with his throat slit. So I thought it was pretty cool how it was making you think that he disappeared because he ran for the money, but he was in the street dead. So when he came around looking for the money, you thought he was full of crap. So until you watched the other episodes and you realized they didn't. Yes. And I knew she did. I knew she took it.
Triplets.
I knew that she took it when she was leaving out the office and the FedEx guy went by. I said, that's the money.
Yes.
I was like, that's the money. As soon as I saw that, I was like, that's the money. Just walking out the front door.
And the triplets already knew about it because they were going to use that for the insurance.
Yeah. Yeah. Because she already talked to them and told them.
Yeah. Asked old dude to find a way to clean their money. And he was like, hesitant, not really trying to move on it and all that kind of stuff. Right. So she took that opportunity to actually move in and do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, she stole it and she said, look, we'll steal it and you get the insurance and that will all be legal.
It'll be washed.
Yeah.
And so the scene I was talking about that I thought was a mistake before, and I found out it wasn't, is when he went to go visit his friend and she was stacking some stuff on a high shelf and he was trying to help her, move the stuff, the glasses to pass them to her so she could stack them on the shelf. And it showed his hand shaking a little bit, then they cut it off. And I'm thinking like, does Giancarlo, does he have MS or something? And they trying to cut it out, you know what I mean? Cause sometimes stuff happens. I'm like, oh, I bet you they recorded that scene and the editor saw that he was shaking kind of on that left hand. So they probably cut the scene short because to cut it out so it wouldn't be so obvious. And so that after that, I kept watching him on every episode, seeing if his hand was acting up and he was like kind of favoring one hand, right? And I'm thinking like, in real life, is he messed up? And then I didn't know that played into the damn character later on. So when that came up and he even had that going on in the with the character, I'm like, that's great. Because I was nervous because when I saw it and saw how it was edited, I thought he was really slipping. I thought that they was just trying to edit it out to fix it. And I thought that, in real life, he was messed up.
Can a brother plan a heist and take the money, still live?
I kind of like the fact that they didn't get the money. I thought it was pretty cool because it wasn't a typical kind of thing. Like but still he doesn't have it. But
she don't have it either though.
Yeah, she don't.
She gave it back?
Yeah, that's the point.
At the end, she said that they stole the money, but she stole it from them. She gave it to the triplets.
Yeah.
The triplets in turn reported it stolen, got the insurance money.
Yeah.
So that's the money that was put back into the safe. Eventually that money was restored. The money that they had stolen went to their pockets and it's clean. Nobody knows that it's in their pockets.
So what does she get? Does she get any money from them?
She might get something from them, but not all that money. Cause the point was, it's pretty much washing it. And the thing was, is the reason why she even said she stole it is because she knew if her dad took the money from the triplets that they was going to have them. Cause in no way they wasn't going to come after them. There was no way they wasn't going to find out who did that.
Right. Right. he thought they was just gonna blame old boy. Like it was a $7 billion missing, they was gonna come find him.
They so gonna find him.
And to be fair, he did say more than once he didn't really care about the money. It was the whole that wasn't even the point. He didn't want he just wanted to hurt him.
Yeah. But let me and that was the beauty. So and I know people, I know like you know, people can watch it in any other way, but that was like part of the beauty of watching White last, because when you watch the first episode after the heist, you would open up the FBI agent, she opens up that safe with the guy, and she's like, well, how did that end up in there? And then
they don't show what it is.
Yeah, they show what it is. And then at the end of White, the last scene, you know, before he gets, you know, taken out or whatever, you know, you see him, part of why he had to do that last safe was to put that jury in there so he would know who did it. Like, you know what I'm saying? And that was just like, yeah, that was it. That was the whole show for me. Like, wanting him to know who took it. So his face.
Well, in the white episode, he doesn't die. I mean, the white episode, it ends where he's still alive, which is cool. The episode before the white episode is when he gets killed.
Yeah, I mean, it's in that order. If you want to watch it in chronological order, white wouldn't be last.
Right, exactly.
The order you sent me was yellow, violet, orange, green, blue, red, pink, and white.
There's a way you can watch it in chronological order, but white wouldn't be last.
So what order was this one? Oh, this is the one that somebody said they wished, the order they wished they watched it in.
So that's what we did.
Yeah, that's what we did.
In their order. So Wayne's right, because the last episode really is the one where he gets taken out.
Yes. By
the son.
That's true. Well, that's true.
That's not white. Yeah.
Right.
But I didn't mind it happening like that. I thought the order you sent to was pretty cool.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, essentially, because the last two before White are after the heist. Because if you think about it, that order I sent you in, that's why I said it earlier. The last, I think it's the last, because it's nine. So the first like five, they mix around. But the last four, they actually have it in the same order that Netflix has it. Because there's two before the heist, one before the heist, then like two after the heist, then White. But the first five, they mix around, right? Because one tells you where we are now. One tells you what happened 20 years ago. One tells you, you know what I'm saying? So, but if you watch it in chronological order, White would be third from last.
Okay.
But then it would spoil certain things for you, right? So, because in White, she says what she says, you know, in White. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like they show that phone call. That FaceTime call that he had with her before he like walks away and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, but anyway, like, just that piece for me was it for me. Like just for him to see who did it. And then on top of that, right? So not necessarily in White, but in the last of the last, he goes to the prison and see the guy. That was it. And he had already known he was, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But no, it was cool though.
Yeah, I thought it was just unfortunate because I don't think the guy really meant to leave. He meant to leave because he didn't want to burn up and he heard the police and stuff. So I understand him running, but it was just, I like how it wasn't clear, you know. So I like how it was an interpretation of what he felt his friend did to him. And truthfully, I never took his friend as being messed up enough to do something like that on purpose. He burnt the place down to save his friend, basically, to clean up the situation. Mm-hmm. Nobody knew his wife was going to be there working, getting called back and all that kind of stuff. And matter of fact, she should have said, screw you all folks for embarrassing me and firing me in the first place. She shouldn't have went back. And so even though I didn't think it was fair that Leo felt that way about Roger, I understood, because when he, you know, went around and still got around there and got to her, he felt like, you know, you could have tried to do it. And maybe you could have saved her. Maybe you couldn't have. But, you know, I like how that was done, because it could have been clear. But I thought it was kind of like, she's going to be gone. I can't do anything about it anyway. It doesn't make no sense for me to get arrested or die.
I don't know if he would have been arrested, like, because I don't think he would have got arrested if he did it. I really think he had the opportunity to. He just didn't. Because,
and see, I heard the sirens, so that's why when I heard the sirens, I didn't know why, because he kind of looked to the side, and I heard the sirens, and I saw him look, and he ran off. I truly think if he thought he could have gotten there and got her, I think he would have got her.
I don't think he was that type of person. I don't
know. But it was...
But only because, again, we wouldn't have seen Giancarlo. Okay, if they would have got arrested on site, Giancarlo never would have been at the hospital with his daughter.
So I wouldn't think that Roger would have got arrested just because he's the guy who walks out the front door, right? If he would have saved his wife, he would have been a hero that walked by and saw this woman trapped in there and he saved her versus him being part of the...
Right. What bothered me was it was just very irresponsible for his wife to bring the daughter to work and then put her headphones on while her daughter's walking around the place. I mean, I just don't see a black woman doing that. I just don't. Because if you bring your child to work with you, why don't you put your headphones on? You can't hear your child.
She does, and I'm sure many people do that. It's equivalent to being in a room.
That's just showing my age.
Equivalent to her being in a room where the kid can't be, and she could be in a whole other room. That's equivalent to having headphones on, because not every time you can have your family in the exact room where you're at.
But I'm still like, I'm not headphones because there's no way I'm going to hear my child.
Okay, so I could be at work, and Malaya comes to my office, and she could be in the break room that's in the room over. She's not sitting next to me at my desk.
I guess I'm just more paranoid. I'm like, no.
People there and, you know, guards and stuff there. Why would you be concerned at your work that your kid could be a room over?
Headphones on. She didn't hear the fire. She didn't know where her kid was. The kid got in trouble. It was all just really weird.
So it's only bad until it goes wrong. But otherwise, it'd be like any other day.
Yeah, that's just that's not something I would have done. It's different if I'm by myself. But if I'm bringing my child here.
If people are that concerned about their kids thinking everything gonna happen to them like that, you would just never leave them at all. It's dangerous to send them to school. It's dangerous to let them take a bath by themselves.
The fact is, because she had those headphones on, her child, I mean, she didn't see the fire.
I wasn't in there doing the fire, though. Y'all are mixing two different things, though. The child wasn't in there doing the fire, right?
Right.
Y'all know that, right? Y'all.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, okay. Keep you on the. Yeah, okay. So that was two different things. To be honest, it was.
Oh no, the child was playing and the people caught her, then she got fired.
Yes.
She had her headphones on, so she didn't know the child was the child.
I think she just does her headphone thing anyway.
To concentrate and stuff. Yeah, because you deal with numbers and accounting stuff. I do the same thing.
Which I get that, but yeah.
But
daughter, the fire was different, you're right.
I think headphones is just a thing for her. Now, I honestly think that the writers put that in the story to show us that like it had to happen that way. So we could see that later on.
Because
if you notice, the same place where the daughter went, the same little cubby she snuck in and snuck through,
it's was the same area
and snuck through. So we had to see that. It had to play out.
That like makes that. Sense. Yeah. That makes sense.
Because when you see it the second time, you're like, oh, that's where the daughter, you know.
Yep.
Like,
that makes sense.
I don't know if they wrote it into it like that, but hell, it can be interpreted that she kind of did that and told him what she did.
Yeah.
And that's how he knew to get in right there. I mean, I don't know.
It was possible because you already saw when it was eating dinner together and stuff at the diner. She was kind of, you know, kind of playing people for free dessert and stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I asked nicely. I'm cute. She wanted me to have it, the pie. So, it was a great show. Watch it a couple times. Like I said, I'm going to watch it again and see what comes out of it. But it was very well done. And I can't wait for the next project that the folks who did this. It's done by Eric Garcia. I don't really know him from anything, but if this is how you're going to be rocking, I am down for the ride. Down for the ride. Can't wait for the next project that comes up because I don't think he did anything on his level like this that I remember. So please more. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Yep. I really, really, really thought that was spot on.
Well, thank you, Wayne DeCue, for putting the fire on my butt about that. Like I said, I seen it pop up, but it was something that I have a list of things that I need to watch, and that wasn't high on it, and I probably would have lost it in the shuffle. But like I said, when you sent us that information about it to check it out, believe me, when you told me that, that's when I got on it, and I'm glad that I did. And I've been telling folks that I know, too, just to check it out as well, because it's a treat. It's a treat.
Oh, yeah. Good stuff, man. That was I was like, oh, look at this.
Yeah, it was right on. Well, right on, fellas. So that was our open discussion of the Netflix limited series Kaleidoscope. Until next time, peace.
Peace easy.
See you somewhere out in space.
Hey, it's Jay. Be sure to check out past and future episodes of this show, available now on all streaming platforms. If you'd like to hear more from us, please check out my other podcast entitled Jay's Other Podcast, along with Captain Keith's other podcast entitled Clef Signs, spelled K-L-E-F-S-I-G-N-S, which are both now available on all streaming platforms.